أما بعد. طيب, so we begin على بركة الله with كتاب الطهارة from the كتاب الملخص الفقهي. Last week we took the introduction, so we begin now بإذن الله تعالى with كتاب الطهارة. نعم. And as we mentioned last week, our way in how we'll be working through this كتاب is that we will listen to the Sheikh himself, حفظه الله تعالى, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, يعني bit by bit, and then we will work with the translation, and then after we've listened to as much as we're able, or that which يعني will suffices, we'll then try to bring some additional benefits from the kalam of the Sheikh and other than the Sheikh, بإذن الله تعالى. نعم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.
نعم. So as we mentioned, أيها الإخوة, this is a tremendous opportunity for those who have the Arabic text, يعني to work through the Arabic with the English, and no doubt, أيها الإخوة, if a person remains consistent and he continues through يعني working through this kitab with the Arabic and the English, then that will without doubt improve a person's Arabic, improve his understanding of the lugha, improve his vocabulary, and his understanding in the fiqh, and in fiqh and in yani the ahkam in general. And so if a person is able to work through the Arabic text and get hold of the book, and if you haven't done so yet, yani maybe pair up with someone, or you're able to likewise download the text. But a tremendous opportunity, no doubt. Naam. And so this, depending on the print, then it was going to vary from page to page. But يعني, if we go with the bab, so you know where we are in the kitab, bab fi ahkam al-tahara wal-miyah. And so you can follow. Bab fi ahkam al-tahara wal-miyah. The chapter concerning the rulings of purification and water. And so if you have the English, then you will find that chapter يعني, with that translation. And for those who have the Arabic also, باب في أحكام الطهارة والمياه. نعم.
أيها المستمع الكريم, إن الصلاة هي الركن الثاني من أركان الإسلام بعد الشهادتين, وهي الفارقة بين المسلم والكافر, وهي عمود الإسلام, وأول ما يحاسب عنه العبد يوم القيامة, فإن صحت وقبلت قبل سائر عمله, وإن ردت رد سائر عمله. قد ذكرت الصلاة في مواطن كثيرة من القرآن على صفات متنوعة, فتارة يأمر الله بإقامتها, وتارة يبين مزيتها, وتارة يبين ثوابها, وتارة يقرنها مع الصبر ويأمر بالاستعانة بهما على الشدائد. ومن ثم كانت قرة عين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من هذه الدنيا, فهي حلية النبيين وشعار الصالحين, وهي صلة بين العبد وبين ربه, وهي تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر, ولذكر الله أكبر. ولم
نعم. So we'll listen to the translation of that which we've taken so far.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Prayer is the second pillar of Islam after the testifications of faith. Prayer is what distinguishes Muslims from disbelievers. It is the cornerstone of Islam, and it is the first thing one is questioned about when called to account on the Day of Judgment. Therefore, if it is correctly performed and thus accepted by Allah, all one's good deeds will be accepted. But if rejected, so will be all one's deeds. Prayer is mentioned in many different contexts in the glorious Quran, stressing its various virtues. Sometimes Allah commands establishing it regularly, and sometimes He demonstrates its merits. At times Allah shows the reward for establishing it, and at other times He associates it with patience, enjoining seeking his help through both patience and prayer in adversity. Hence, prayer has been made the comfort of the eyes of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world, as it is the ornament of prophets, the sign of righteous servants, and the connection between servants and the Lord of the worlds. Prayer, in addition, prevents immorality and wrongdoing.
And you heard in the Arabic, wala dhikrullahi akbar, but you don't have it written in the Arabic, as far as I know, with most of the prints. You have this additional word in here, wala dhikrullahi akbar. I don't know about the translation. Does it say? No. That is يعني referring to the ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions to establish the salah, wa aqim as-salah. إن الصلاة تنحى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولا ذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. And so, يعني, sometimes we find the scholars when they bring something from an ayah of the Quran, يعني, here, the Sheikh mentioning that it تنحى عن الفحشاء والمنكر, then يعني, to يعني, remind the reader يعني, that he's mentioning, he's taking this from the Quran. So he mentioned وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that which came in the ayah itself. نعم. يعني, that's in Surah Al-Ankabut.
ما كانت هذه الصلاة لا تصح إلا بطهارة المصلي من الحدث والنجس حسب القدرة على ذلك, وكانت مادة التطهير هي الماء أو ما يقوم مقامه من التيمم عند عدم الماء أو العجز عن استعماله. صار الفقهاء رحمهم الله يبدأون بكتاب الطهارة لأنها لما قدمت الصلاة على غيرها من بقية أركان الإسلام بعد الشهادتين ناسب تقديم مقدماتها ومنها الطهارة. فالطهارة مفتاح الصلاة كما في الحديث مفتاح الصلاة الطهور, وذلك لأن الحدث يمنع الصلاة فهو كالقفل يوضع على المحدث, فإذا توضأ انحل القفل. فالطهارة أوكد شروط الصلاة والشرط لا بد أن يقدم على المشروط. ومعنى الطهارة.
So we'll listen to the translation of that.
Prayer is not deemed valid unless the one performing it is in a state of both minor and major ritual purity as much as possible. The means of purification for prayer is either water in ablution or clean earth in tayammum, i.e. dry ablution, in case water is unavailable.
Go back to the beginning of that paragraph.
Prayer is not deemed valid unless the one performing it is in a state of both minor and major ritual purity.
طيب, so here it says, وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ لَا تُصِحِّ إِلَّا بِطَهَارَةِ الْمُصَلِّي مِنَ الْحَدَثِ وَالنَّجَسِ حَسَبَ الْقُدْرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Again, translation of that.
Prayer is not deemed valid unless the one performing it is in a state of both minor and major ritual purity.
It's a concise, يعني, concise translation. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ, يعني, you would translate that, يعني, a literal translation. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةَ, يعني, when this salah, or the fact that this salah, لَا تُصِحِّ إلا بتحارة المصلي, يعني, the fact that this prayer is not correct except with the tahara and the purification of the musalli, the one who's praying. من الحدث والنجس, يعني الحدث, يعني that ritual impurity, والنجس, يعني that physical impurity. حسب القدرة على ذلك. نعم, we can continue from there. وكانت مادة التحور هي الماء. Yeah, I need the translation now from the water, yeah, the mention of water. Yeah.
The means of purification for prayer is either water in ablution or clean earth in tayammum, i.e. dry ablution in case water is unavailable. Due to the above, the fuqaha, may Allah have mercy on them, used to start their books with handling the issue of purification.
Kitab al-Tahara.
Since prayer is at the head of the pillars of Islam, following the two testifications of faith, it is appropriate to start with handling its prerequisites, among which is purification. The key to prayer, as mentioned in the following hadith, the key to prayer is purification.
مفتاح الصلاة الطهور.
This is because a state of minor ritual impurity is like a padlock that hinders one from performing prayer. But once one performs ablution, that padlock is unlocked, as purification is the key to prayer. Thus, purity is one of the most central conditions of prayer. A condition is to be fulfilled before performing the action stipulating it.
والشرط لابد أن يقدم على المشروط. الشرط, the condition, لابد, يعني, is necessary that the condition comes before the مشروط, that which it has been placed a condition for. Meaning, you gotta have wudu. You gotta have wudu before the, يعني, and wudu is a شرط. شرط for what? الصلاة. صحة الصلاة. نعم. So the مشروط here is الصلاة. ومعنى الطهارة. Did we play that? We didn't play that. طيب, so everything we've heard so far is like a muqaddima, an introduction for, يعني, the Shaykh mentioning the station of the salah and at-tahara and so on. Now the Shaykh is going to go on to mention, يعني, the definition of tahara and then some of the ahkam relating to at-tahara and al-miyah, water. So now the Shaykh is going to begin with ma'na at-tahara lughatan, the meaning of tahara in lugha, the linguistic meaning of tahara.
لغة النظافة والنزاهة عن الأقدار الحسية والمعنوية, ومعناها شرعا ارتفاع الحدث وزوال النجس. وارتفاع الحدث يحصل باستعمال الماء في جميع البدن إن كان حدثا أكبر، أو في الأعضاء الأربعة إن كان حدثا أصغر، أو استعمال ما ينوب عن الماء عند عدمه أو العجز.
طيب، so here, we'll read the translation of that which is taken so far. وارتفاع الحدث أو معنى طهارة.
Linguistically, purity means cleanliness and purification from all matters and spiritual impurities. In the Sharia,
so this is a term you're going to hear within the Kitab a number of times. Hissiyya ma'nawiyya. Hissiyya is the physical, tangible, يعني tahara, or even when we talk about najasa. Hissiyya, you translate it as physical, tangible. Ma'nawiyya is like a spiritual or يعني intangible. Intangible. And we're going to see يعني examples of that. ومعناها شرعاً, and the meaning of it in the شرع, in the legislation.
In the Sharia, purity means the removal of ritual impurity as well as the impure objects. The removal of ritual impurity can be achieved by using water with the intention of purification. In case of major ritual impurity, one uses water and washes one's whole body. Yet, one only washes the four parts of ablution in case of minor ritual impurity.
And this is why I stopped here, because here a person, whether he reads the Arabic or the English, there's no mention of the al-a'dha al-arba'ah, the four parts of the body. However, this, according to the language of the fuqaha, and the hanabila, and يعني, many of the fuqaha from the other madhahib, is al-a'dha al-arba'ah are the four parts of the body, as was mentioned by al-Buhuti, who we said was the author of which kitab? Rawd al-Murba'. So he mentions in his in another kitab of his, Kishaf al-Qina', where he mentions these four body parts. And basically, they refer to the face, that's one, the hands, yani both hands are considered as yani the same body part, hands, the legs, and the head. So again, the face, we said, hands, legs, and the head. They are all the four parts يعني, of the body in kana hadathan asghar, if that is the minor يعني, يعني ritual impurity. No.
عن استعماله وهو التراب على صفة مخصوصة وسيأتي إن شاء الله فيما يستقبل من الحلقات بيان لصفة التطهير من الحدثين. غرضنا الآن بيان صفة الماء الذي يحصل به التطهير والماء الذي لا يحصل به ذلك. قال الله تعالى وأنزلنا من السماء ماء طهورا، وقال تعالى وينزل عليكم من السماء ماء ليطهركم به.
نعم. So translation of that.
One can use a substitute for water, namely clean earth, if water is unavailable or one is unable to use it, i.e. one can perform tayammum instead. We will, Allah willing, elaborate on how to purify oneself from both minor and major ritual impurity.
And yeah, meaning later on in the book.
Let us now point out the qualities of the water used for purification and those of the water that is not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we send down from the sky pure water. Allah also says, and sent down upon you from the sky rain by which to purify you.
Naam. And then now the Shaykh is going to begin mentioning the yani water that is tahur, yani pure, and with which you can purify.
والطهور هو الطاهر في ذاته المطهر لغيره وهو الباقي على خلقته أي صفته التي خلقه الله عليها سواء كان نازلا من السماء كالمطر ولو بالثلوج والبرد أو ساكنا أو جاريا في الأرض كماء الأنهار والعيون والآبار والبحار أو كان مقطرا من ماء البحر وغيره فهذا هو الذي يصح التطهر به من الحدث والنجاسة فإن تغير بنجاسة لم يجوز التطهر به من غير خلاف وإن تغير بشيء طاهر لم يغلب عليه فالصحيح من قولي العلماء صحة التطهر به أيضا.
Translation.
Pure water is that which is originally pure and can be used as a means of purification. It is also that water which has not undergone any change, i.e. it retains its original characteristics, whether it is sent from the sky, such as rain, snow, or hail water, running water, such as the water of rivers, springs, wells, and seas, or distilled water. This is the proper kind of water to be used for removing ritual or physical impurity. However, it is undisputable that if the characteristics of such water change due to an impure material, it is impermissible to use it for purification. Yet, if it is just a slight change and is caused by a pure material, it is permissible to be used as a purifier, according to the most correct of the two opinions maintained by scholars in this regard.
So here, maybe the translation left something out. فَهَذَا هُوَ الَّذِي يُسِحُّ التَّطَحُرُ بِهِ مِنَ الْحَدِثِ وَالنَّجَاسَةِ فَإِنْ تَغَيَّرْ بِنَجَاسَةِ لَمْ يَجُزْ التَّطَحُرُ بِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ خِلَافٍ. Did he mention that? Did he mention مِنْ غَيْرِ خِلَافٍ? And so here, the Shaykh, if you read that, did he say it?
It is indisputable.
طيب. So نعم. طيب. He gets across the meaning. من غير خلاف. طيب. نعم. Just to make mention of some of the words that you may be hearing for the first time, some of these terms that are going that occur more than once within this kitab, especially in this chapter here, and will come later on. Some of the forms of water that the Shaykh he mentioned, matar, as well known to hopefully all of us, matar, rain. وَذُوبِ الثَّلُوجِ وَذُوبِ الثَّلُوجِ يعني that's snow. ذُوبِ is يعني, to melt. يعني snow when it's melted. ذُوبِ الثَّلُوجِ وَالْبَرَدِ يعني hail water. يعني, and then a word that you heard, but you don't see it before you. ساكنًا أو جاريًا. ساكنًا أو جاريًا. يعني ساكن is يعني when it's still. The water's still. أو جاريًا, or when it flows. في الأرض. When it flows in the earth. كَمَاءِ الْأَنْحَارِ. So anhar, rivers, the plural of nahar. Wal uyun, springs, the plural of ayn. Wal abar, wells, the plural of bi'r. Naam. Wal bihar, what's bihar? Ocean, sea, the plural of bahar. أو كان مقطرا أو كان مقطرا يعني distilled and يعني and we heard مقطرا من ماء البحر but you don't find it here in Arabic من ماء البحر يعني that water that is taken from the sea and it is distilled and يعني that water that is distilled is يعني that water that is heated يعني it's a purification of the liquid يعني by heating or through heating يعني that liquid نعم أبشر مقطرا أو كان مقطرا يعني distilled water يعني so distilled مقطرا من ماء البحر as the Sheikh he said water that is distilled from the water يعني or that water that is taken from the sea and it is distilled and distilled يعني is when a liquid يعني is purified by heating so it يعني vaporizes and then it cools and condenses and then that vapor is then يعني collected or يعني that resulting liquid is then collected and that is يعني distilled يعني it's a purification of the water that's the meaning of مقطران distilled water نعم نعم and now here in the text itself, the book, and يعني the English and the Arabic, there is something within the book that which the Sheikh himself doesn't mention. So he mentions some speech from Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. However, we don't find that in the audio itself. And the reason behind that most likely would be due to that which usually takes place when a book is يعني transcribed from the verbal lectures that were given, and after being transcribed, that is then put back or given back to the Sheikh for him to review. And then, if the Sheikh he sees that there's a benefit in bringing something extra, then he brings something. So here we have something in the written form of the book, which is not in the in the audio itself. Just like wallahu a'lam, the chapter that comes after this. يعني that audio is not available في أحكام الآنية والثياب الكفار. يعني the chapter concerning the pots and يعني utensils of the kuffar and their clothes. يعني we don't find the audio available. والله أعلم, maybe the sheikh he added this يعني after. نعم. And so يعني here we will read ourselves, and then we, when we يعني meet the point in the kitab where the audio يعني resumes, then inshallah we will play it again. But here we have the Arabic text for هذا هو الذي عفوا قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية. That الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, he said أما مسألة تغير الماء اليسير أو الكثير بالطاهرات, as for the matter of water, whether that is يعني abundant or whether that is يسير يعني a small amount, بالطاهرات يعني when water changes due to some pure substance, it's when something mixes with water but that thing, that substance is pure. طاهرات كالإشنان, like الإشنان, يعني إشنان is يعني you have in the kitab there translated as
potash.
I should have asked first who knows that word. يعني إشنان is translated as potash, and even then I can still ask the question, who knows what potash is? First time you're hearing it. Potash is a plant that grows in يعني the salt marshes, يعني in salty environments, يعني the coastal salt marshes and the seashores. That's where we find potash. يعني it is rich in alkali, and يعني the plant itself, it has ashes that are soaked in water. Ashes that are soaked in water, and يعني it used to be used formerly. It was used formerly, يعني before, for soap making, for making soap. Now, so that is إشنان, and so the Sheikh is mentioning what? Those substances that mix with water, but those substances themselves are طاهر, they're pure. So إشنان, يعني potash. And they say that the word potassium, يعني its roots go back to potash. Now, والصابون, you all know that. So, والصدر, is that honey?
No,
it's the tree. يعني عسل الصدر is goes back to this tree. يعني that honey that is, يعني يعني comes from these trees. يعني the lot tree, and so a cedar, يعني if the leaves of the lot tree mix with the water, if the leaves of the lot tree mix with the water, يعني again that is something that has mixed with the water, but it is طاهر, it is pure. والختمي أو الختمي, for those who have the Arabic print, do you have a fatha and a kasra in the same, يعني over the same word? That is because this word itself you can pronounce it in both ways. Al-khatmi or al-khatmi. As far as I know, when I checked, the translation doesn't even have this translation of this word. Translation doesn't have this word. Maybe yeah, it's a mistake. Because after the lot tree, what do you have in the translation?
Dust.
That's turab. However, in the Arabic, before turab, يعني, and after sidr, is wal-khatmi. And khatmi, ayyul ikhwa, is the plant, the hibiscus, يعني another plant, another form of plant, يعني from the mallow family of plants, the hibiscus. You all know hibiscus.
Yeah.
You drink the tea. نعم. طيب. والتراب. يعني dust. والعجين. And عجين is dough. So all of these are pure substances if they mix with the water. Whether that water is yasir, يعني a small amount, or kathir, abundant, وغير ذلك, and other than these, مما قد يغير الماء, يعني from those things that could possibly change the water, مثل الإناء, like the vessel, إذا كان فيه أثر سدر, like that vessel that may contain within it the يعني the effects of sidr, يعني the leaves from the lot tree, or خطمي, which we said is hibiscus. Now, ووضع فيه ماء, and then يعني so you have a vessel with which has the remnants or the يعني نعم the remnants of these يعني substances, and then you place water in that vessel فتغير به, and so then the water changes مع بقاء اسم الماء. However, it remains and it keeps its name, يعني water. The يعني water, that vessel with water that is in it is still called water. It retains its name. فهذا فيه قولان معروفان للعلماء. يعني there are two positions here, well-known positions from the علماء. ثم ذكرها, then he mentioned them. من الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, he mentioned them. مع بيان وجه كل قول. With explain, يعني he explained every position. ورجح القول بصحة التطهر به, and he declared that which is stronger is the saying that you can make tahara with it, meaning that water that يعني is mixed with some pure substance, whether that water is abundant or small, a small amount. So long as that يعني amount of water retains its name and we continue to say it's water, then it is still pure and it's tahur. You can purify with it. So an example of that is يعني a drop, because we're talking about pure substances. So it's wrong for us to say a drop of urine, because here we're not talking about that yet. We're talking about things that are pure. So a drop of orange juice, for example, a drop of orange juice, or a drop of any of these things here, يعني dough, or يعني the dust and so on. If these substances enter into the vessel or that container, يعني and it mixes with the water, then here the Sheikh, he mentions that so long as it retains the name of water and we continue to call it water, then you can still make tahara with it. That which will hopefully inshallah make it clear is if we now take a tea bag and put the tea bag in the cup, it's tahir. Tea bag is something pure, qahwa, coffee. We put it into the water. Does it retain the name water? Do we continue to call it water? The name changes. We don't call it water anymore. The colors changed. It's changed. However, we don't call it water anymore. And so here, it's not correct for us to make a tahara with it. As opposed to, يعني, that drop of orange juice or whatever, maybe even changed, يعني, the smell. Because when we're talking about the tahirat, even if it changes something, even if it changes something in the water, however, it retains the name of water. We continue to call it water. So, for example, as Sheikh bin Baz was asked, colored water. Or even you have those flavored water, bottle of water, but it's flavor is strawberry. There's been that which has been added to it. There's that which has been added to it, but it still retains the name of water. And so even if it's colored water, red, but we still call it water. So long as it retains the name, then it is tahir, even if a characteristic of the water changes. But we're talking about the tahirat, because we're going to see that when najasa, those impure substances, when they mix with water, if one of the three characteristics change, then يعني the water itself becomes impure. Naam. And then so the Sheikh, he mentions the kalam of Sheikh Islam, and that Sheikh Islam, he said that the stronger position is that so long as the water retains its name and it's mixed with one of these pure substances, then it is correct to make tahara with it. And then he said, وقال هو الصواب, that is يعني the correct position, لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال, because Allah سبحانه وتعالى, he said, وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا سعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم من. There is a saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and likewise يعني in Surah Al-Nisa, similar. يعني if you are ill, أو على سفر, or on a journey, أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط, غائط, or if you came from يعني the relieving yourself from the call of nature, أو لامستم النساء, or you touch women, يعني with via sexual intercourse, فلم تجدوا ماء, and you don't find water, فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا, then يعني rub with your hands يعني صعيدا طيبا, يعني pure earth, dust, and so on. فامسحوا بوجوهكم, and with them rub your faces, وأيديكم, and your hands. نعم. وقوله, and he's saying, meaning the saying of Allah, فلم تجدوا ماء, and you don't find water, نكرة في سياق النفي, نكرة في سياق النفي. Sheikh, he mentions that here the word ماء, يعني it's the indefinite word, it's indefinite, يعني ماء, if you يعني it hasn't come with alif al-lam, الماء, but it's come نكرة, يعني indefinite, في سياق النفي, يعني in the context of negation, فيعم كل ما هو ماء, and so it's general, it includes every type of water, لا فرق في ذلك بين نوع ونوع, so there's no يعني differentiating between any type of water, يعني whether it's يعني a small amount, a large amount, or whether يعني its color has changed and so on. يعني so long as we're talking about here, now we're talking about those substances that are طاهر. So as long as it retains the name of water, even though the color may change, the smell may change, due to something طاهر mixing into it, but it retains the name of water, then it is طاهر. Because here the Shaykh, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and you don't find water, and you don't find water, and here it's a general, the word water has come in, يعني in the indefinite form, and so it comprises all types of water. And as we said, even though this is mixed with it, color has changed, this pure substance is mixed with it, color has changed, but it's still called water. Now, and so, Naam, the Shaykh, he mentioned that يعني it's come in the context of nafi, of negation, and this is a principle that the scholars, they use in fiqh, similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. So شَيْئًا has come, again, in the indefinite form. Worship Allah, وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and do not associate anything as a partner to him. And so we have شَيْئًا, that has come indefinite, in the سياق النفي, in the context of negation. لا وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. نعم, and so the scholars, when they explain this, they say that this has come in the context of negation, and so it includes everything and anything. So that's why it's translated as, don't associate anything at all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And so that is the additional part that we have in the kitab. Now we will go back to the audio. فَإِذَا عَدِمَ الْمَاءَ
فَإِذَا عَدِمَ الْمَاءَ أو عجز عن استعماله مع وجوده فإن الله قد جعل بدله التراب على صفة باستعماله بينها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في سنته وسيأتي توضيح ذلك إن شاء الله في بابه وهذا من لطف الله بعباده ورفع الحرج عنهم قال تعالى وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لامستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم إن الله كان عفوا غفورا قال ابن هبيرة وأجمعوا.
That is to say, Allah has made clean earth the substitute for water as a purifier in case water is unavailable or one is unable to use it. The way clean earth is used for purification has been pointed out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the sunnah, which will be dealt with, Allah willing, in a special chapter. So, decreeing such a substitute for water, i.e. clean earth, is a kind of divine mercy and a way by which Allah makes things easier for His servants. Allah, exalted be He, says, "And if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you comes from the place of relieving himself, or you have contacted women, i.e. had sexual intercourse, and find no water, then seek clean earth and wipe over your faces and your hands with it. Indeed, Allah is ever pardoning and forgiving."
Now, and then the Shaykh, he mentioned Qal ibn Hubayra. And before we listen to what Ibn Hubayra, he said, Ibn Hubayra is that Imam Abu al-Mithfar al-Wazir, and that Imam al-Adil from the 5th century, al-Wazir, well known, al-Wazir ibn Hubayra. Naam, and he was from the 5th century, from the ulama, in the region of Iraq, from Baghdad specifically, from the Hanabila, from the Hanbali scholars. He was born in the year 499 after the Hijrah, and he died in 560 after the Hijrah. He was born in 499 after the Hijrah, and died in 560 after the Hijrah. And he is the sahib of that kitab, Al-Ifsah. Al-Ifsah an Ma'ani Sihah. Al-Ifsah, and the Shaykh is going to quote him again in the next chapter, I believe. Al-Ifsah an Ma'ani Sihah. He explained in this kitab the two books, Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, in approximately 10 volumes, and it's printed as well. Alhamdulillah. Naam. A kitab that is Jameel, Jiddim. Naam. He's referred to as Al-Wazir also. If you hear Al-Wazir, then it's referring to Ibn Hubayra. Al-Wazir, the minister. He was an imam also. Imam he was a just imam, and likewise he was an alim. Naam.
على أن الطهارة بالماء تجب على كل من لزمته الصلاة مع وجوده فإن عدمه فبدله لقوله تعالى فإن لم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا ولقوله تعالى وينزل عليكم من السماء ماء ليطهركم به انتهى وهذا مما يدل على عظمة هذا الإسلام الذي هو دين الطهارة والنزاهة الحسية والمعنوية كما يدل ذلك على عظمة هذه الصلاة حيث لم يصح الدخول فيها بدون الطهارة.
Ibn Hubayra states, Muslim scholars uniformly agree that purification with water is obligatory for whoever is obliged to perform prayer, provided water is available. In case water is unavailable, one should use its substitute, i.e. clean earth, in accordance with the Quranic verse in which Allah exalted be He says, "And find no water, then seek clean earth, and sent down upon you from the sky rain by which to purify you." This shows the greatness of Islam, the religion of purity, and both physical and spiritual cleanliness. It also shows the loftiness of prayer, which one cannot enter upon without being in two states of purity.
So now the Shaykh is going to mention the two states of impurity, taharatain. Taharatain, the two states of purity.
طهارة المعنوية من الشرك وذلك بالتوحيد وإخلاص العبادة لله والطهارة الحسية من الحدث والنجاسة وذلك يكون بالماء أو ما يقوم مقامه وعلمت مما سبق أن الماء إن كان باقيا على خلقته لم تخالطه مادة أخرى فهو طهور من غير إشكال وإن تغير أحد أوصافه الثلاثة ريحه أو طعمه أو لونه بنجاسة فهو نجس بالإجماع لا يجوز استعماله وإن تغير أحد أوصافه المذكورة بمخالطة مادة طاهرة له كأوراق الأشجار أو الصابون أو الإشنان أو السدر أو غير ذلك من المواد الطاهرة ولم يغلب ذلك المخالط عليه فلبعض العلماء في ذلك تفاصيل وخلاف والصحيح أنه طهور يجوز التطهر به من الحدث والتطهر به من النجس فعلى هذا يصح لنا أن نقول إن الماء ينقسم إلى قسمين القسم الأول طهور يصح التطهر به سواء كان باقيا على خلقته أو خالطته مادة طاهرة لم تغلب عليه والقسم الثاني نجس لا يجوز استعماله فلا يرفع الحدث ولا يزيل النجاسة وهو ما تغير بالنجاسة والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وإلى حلقة قادمة بإذن الله تعالى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
The first is the spiritual purity from polytheism, by means of testifying the oneness of Allah and worshipping Him sincerely and devoutly.
So that is الطهارة المعنوية. يعني the معنوية يعني the طهارة that is how is it translated?
Spiritual.
Spiritual. نعم معنوية. It's not tangible. Like it's not the حسية. نعم. That is due to we have also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يا أيها سورة التوبة يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما المشركون نجس إنما المشركون نجس that the مشركون the يعني the مشركين they are impure not impure of the bodies يعني it's not the case that if you were to touch مشرك يعني that you يعني that now you've entered يعني you've lost your طهارة and so on. يعني what it means is that that نجاسة معنوية also نجاسة معنوية نجاسة also can come معنوية and حسية which we're going to mention but here يعني الطهارة المعنوية من الشرك نعم.
The second is the physical purity from ritual and tangible impurities which is performed by means of water or its legal substitutes. We should also know that provided water is still in its original state, mixed with nothing else, it is deemed pure, as scholars uniformly agree. They also agree that if any of its three basic characteristics, odor, taste, and color, change due to any impure object, then water is deemed impure and it is impermissible to use as a means of purification. Yet, some scholars differ regarding the purity of water when any of its characteristics has changed due to a pure object, such as tree leaves, soap, potash, or such like pure materials, provided that such a material is not predominant in the resulting mixture. In fact, the sound opinion is that the resulting water is still deemed pure and it is permissible to use it as a means of purification from both ritual and tangible impurity. Due to the above, we can state that water is divided into two categories. Number one, pure water, which can be used as a purifier, whether it is in its original state or mixed with a pure object, provided it is not prevalent enough to change the composition of water or turn it into another object. The second, impure water, which cannot be used for purification from either ritual or tangible impurity. It is also the water any of whose characteristics, odor, taste, or color, has changed due to an impure object. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
So, bringing some benefits from the Sheikh his kitab or from his kitab Zad al Mustaqni', Sharh Zad al Mustaqni', and likewise from Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen in explanation of the same kitab Zad al Mustaqni'. Then going back to the previous page the paragraph where at-tahur is mentioned, at-tahur, wat-tahur, yani that water that is tahur, that water that is pure and with which you can purify. The Sheikh, he finished by mentioning that water is of two types. He said, it is, we have that water that is pure. So the Arabic word was tahur. Tahur. And the second, najis, impure. But this is a concise categorization. But frequently the scholars mention that water is of three types. There's no contradiction. After we explain it, you'll realize يعني how there's no contradiction. And first you have طهور, that water that is pure in and of itself and with which you can purify. That's called طهور. And then you have that water that is طاهر, that water that is طاهر, يعني pure in and of itself. طاهر في نفسه, pure in and of itself. However, you can't use it to يعني make wudu. You can't use it to purify. And so, for example, as we said, that water that is that mixes with a pure substance and it changes, and so it changes the name of water. So, for example, we said tea, coffee, يعني gravy, broth, and so on. يعني all of that يعني consists of water. It is pure, If you, yani, drop water on yourself, it's not that you drop, like you've dropped najasa on yourself and you have to clean it and so on. Yani, it's for mannerisms to clean it. However, yani, it's tahir, but you can't use it to purify. That is tahur, the water that is tahur. And then najas. And so going back to the word tahur, then both of the sheikhs, Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan and likewise Sheikh Uthaymeen, and many of the scholars, when they yani, go further into detail, they mention concerning at-tahur bil-fath, yani with the fatha over the ta. At-tahur bi-fath ta ala wazni fa'ul, on the pattern of fa'ul, tahur, fa'ul, on that pattern, is ismun lima yuf'al bihi ash-shay. And that is the noun that is used for that thing with which you do something with. That thing with which you do something with. And so, at-tahur is a noun for that thing which you use to purify. As opposed to at-tuhur bid-dham, with the dhamma. That is, yani, the tuhur with a dhamma over the ta, then that is on the pattern of fu'ul. Fu'ul. And that is ismun lil-fi'l. That is the noun for the action itself. And so, tahur is the water with which you make wudu, or with which you make the ghusl. Tahur. Yani bil-fath. As for tahur, that is what? The action itself. The action itself. That which will make that clear for you is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, where he said, لا تقبل صلاة بغير طهور. طهور. That no prayer is accepted, that prayer, يعني, that is performed without طهور. يعني the action of making tahara. Why? Because if you were to say now this is tahur, that no prayer is accepted except with purified water, that's not sufficient. Because just having purified water doesn't mean the prayer is going to be accepted. But rather, no prayer is accepted, except with the action of, physical action of, yani, tahur, making tahara. Likewise, when in the hadith, I believe it was Abu Darda, he said, أَلَيْسَ فِيكُمْ صَاحِبُ النَّعْلَيْنِ وَالطَّحُورِ وَالْوِسَادِ. Don't you have amongst you the companion of النَّعْلَيْنِ, meaning the one who used to hold the two slippers, the two sandals of the Messenger of Allah, وَالطَّحُورِ. And he used to also carry the water, الطَّحُورِ بِالْفَتْحِ. والوساد, the like, يعني the pillow. Who is referring to who? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That is why he's nicknamed as Sahib al-Na'lain. Sahib al-Tahur. Sahib al-Wisad. So here you see an example of Tahur bil-Fath, and that refers to the water. Because you can't translate it. يعني, if you, let's say you read it with a Dhamma. Sahib al-Tahur. يعني, the one who used to perform the wudu. يعني for the Messenger of Allah? لا, يعني the one who used to صاحب الطهور, يعني the one who used to carry the water with which he used to make wudu with. Likewise, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions وَسَقَاهُمْ in Surah Al-Insan, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طُهُورًا or طَحُورًا. طَحُور, because Allah will, the meaning of the verse, and their Lord will give them شَرَابًا, a drink, طهورا, يعني a drink that is pure, a drink that is pure. That is why we have طهورا. Likewise, to make it even clearer, is with سحور and سحور. سحور referring to what? بالفتح. Referring to the food itself, الأكل, that أكل that is taken at the time of سحور. And سحور بالضم, the action itself, the action of eating at that time. And so, for example, we had in the hadith, kam kan bain al-adhan was-sahur. Yani, when they would ask, والسحور يعني how much time was it between يعني the Adhan and the يعني the taking of suhoor likewise with wudu بالفتح over the waw or wudu بالضم. And so we have in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas that the messenger of Allah, he dakhla al-khala, he entered the, يعني the area where he would relieve himself. فَوَضَعْتُ لَهُ, and so I placed for him وُضُوءًا أو وَضُوءًا وَضُوء, يعني the water itself with which you make wudu. Because it doesn't make sense to say wudu, that I placed for him the action of يعني making wudu. But I placed for him وَضَعْتُ لَهُ وَضُوءًا وَضُوءًا بِالْفَتْحِ. نعم. And then thereafter the messenger of Allah, he said, مَنْ وَضَعَ هَذَا, who placed this? And it was said to him, Abdullah ibn Abbas, so he made that dua, اللهم فقه في الدين. And so the scholars, they mentioned as a faida, and we're branching off a bit here, that why? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas, he had one of three things to do. Either he enters the khala and gives him the water, but however here, it's possible he could see something which he shouldn't see. So, but he refrained from that. Or the other option is to not even bring the water. And the third is to place the water there, close. And so it shows the fiqh and understanding of Abdullah ibn Abbas. And so the Messenger of Allah, he made dua for him, اللهم فقهه في الدين, give him understanding in the religion. Naam, a dua that he made for Abdullah ibn Abbas. Naam. طيب. الطحارة أيها الإخوة, الطحارة is of two types. المعنوية and حسية. الطحارة, purification, is of two types. معنوية and حسية. So معنوية means like the spiritual, the intangible. حسية, the Arabic word for senses, one senses is أحساس. أحساس comes from this word. حس, يحس. يعني it's tangible. It's tangible. حسية. So the معنوية, الطحارة المعنوية, that is من الشرك and كفر. So the person, he makes a طحارة, he purifies himself from الشرك and from كفر. That is the طحارة المعنوية, the spiritual purification. The spiritual purification. And how does he do that? Huh? كيف؟ نعم. ويعني الشيخ mentioned it. وهذا بي توحيد الله. This is by worshiping Allah alone. وإخلاص العباد وإخلاص العباد لله. And to purify one's worship for Allah. That is the طحارة معنوية. طحارة حسية, that tangible or that physical purification, is من الحدث, from two things. Yeah? So you can say that this حسية, طحارة حسية, this physical, tangible purification is of another two types. And that is that you make tahara, the tahara, tangible tahara that you make, not like the tahara from shirk and kufr, a spiritual tahara. But the tahara, hissiyah, physical tahara, is from two things, and that is hadith. Hadith, yani that spiritual impurity, or an-najasa. An-najasa, yani that physical impurity. So, الطحارة حسية, that physical طحارة, the physical purification from الحدث. Example, when one breaks wind, when one wakes up from sleep, when he releases himself. يعني he's entered a state of يعني spiritual impurity, and so he comes with that طحارة, that physical طحارة, which يعني exit him from that state of ritual impurity. Now, that's hadith. It's not najasa. When a person breaks wind, we don't say he's entered a state where يعني he's يعني either يعني touching najasa or has come in contact with najasa, physical impurity. But rather it's a spiritual impurity. Or a person loses his consciousness. And by way of that, he enters into a spiritual impurity. And it's not tangible. It's not tangible. As for a najasa, when a person makes tahara from a najasa, such as a dam al masfuh, yani that copious amount of blood, that blood that's flowing, a lot of it, yani that is a najasa. Likewise, yani al maita, yani the dead animal, person comes in contact with the dead animal, bowl and so on, urine and so on, and feces and so on. Then that is najasa, that a person, he, and if he comes into contact with that, or the place itself, or his garment, and so on, then yani he makes purification from that najasa. Now, as for a najasa, so that was referring to tahara, as for najasa, then again that is of two types, najasa. Can you guess what they are? Ma'nawiyya and hissiyya. So ma'nawiyya, we said, is that najasa, which is ma'nawi, which is from a shirk, or yani the najasa that is yani shirk, that is yani spiritual. It's not tangible. That's yani najasa al ma'nawiyya. And then we have that najasa hissiyya, that najasa that is yani tangible, physical. And that is of two types. Najasa, the physical najasa, is of two types. Ayniyya, which is yani inherent impurity, inherent filth, such as al-kalb, the dog, wal khinzir, the pig, inherent. يعني لا يمكن تطهيرها. It's not possible to purify. You can't purify the dog. You can't purify the pig. It's inherent. It's ainiya. It's inherent. And then you have that najasa that is hukmiya. The ruling of it is that it is يعني najas and impure. However, it's something that came about. It's not inherent. It came about. And so يعني example of that is that thawb that يعني now يعني it is soaked in blood or urine and so on, feces and so on. يعني that is najasa that is يعني hukmiya. Now يعني it's not the inherent. As soon as you wash that garment, it's gone. That najasa is gone. As soon as you wash that part of the earth where that urine was, like we had the Bedouin who urinated in the masjid, yani as soon as that is purified, then it goes. Now, just to summarize then very quickly, yani the Sheikh, when he mentioned yani the water and how yani it can change, then that which the Sheikh mentioned is that water, whether it is al-kathir or qaleel, whether it is yani a large amount or a small amount, and it changes with tahirat. It changes with pure substances. وَتَغَيَّرْ أَحَدْ أَوْصَافِ. And one of its characteristics changes. How many characteristics does water have? Three. What are they? لونه, color, its color. Its taste, ta'mu, and the odor, yani rihu, its odor. So if one of those characteristics change, and we're talking about when a pure substance mixes with it, وَلَمْ يَغْلُبْ ذَلِكَ الْمُخَالَطْ عَلَيْهِ. And when that substance, yani, doesn't, yani, overcome it, it doesn't overcome it, or yani, it's not the predominant, yani from, it's not the predominant substance here, but rather the water, yani is more, and it's predominant. Then here, it is tahur. So, in a nutshell, if there's a pure substance that mixes with water, even if one of the characteristics change, however, doesn't change its name, as we said. It doesn't change its name, and that thing that mixed with that, the pure thing that mixed with it, doesn't become the predominant substance. Then it is tahur. You can make tahara with it. You can make tahara with it. So that is, as it relates to the pure substances mixing with the water. Even if it was to change, however, it retains the name of water, the substance that mixed with it, isn't the predominant substance. As for if one of the characteristics of water changes due to an impure substance, najasa, due to an impure pure substance mixing with it, then that is najas bil ijma', large amount or small amount. When it comes to najasa, this is all you need to know. As it relates to the ruling of it. If najasa mixes with water and it changes one of the characteristics, then it's najas, whether it's a small amount or large amount, doesn't matter. So long as it changes due to najasa, then it is najas. You can't use that water to purify oneself bil ijma', by consensus. Now, as for that water that is a small amount. And why do they say a small amount here? Because there's a hadith. That hadith, إِذَا كَانَ الْمَاءَ قُلَّتَيْنَ إِذَا كَانَ الْمَاءَ قُلَّتَيْنَ, and that's a measure which I'll explain. If it reaches that amount, then لَمْ يَحْمِلْ الْخَبَثِ, then it doesn't carry خَبَثِ, filth, it doesn't carry najasa. And so, there are those who say that based on this hadith, then there's an amount which water would have to reach and go beyond and go above in order for that najasa, if it was to mix with it, however, one of the characteristics don't change, because we said if it does change, ijma. Because there's a hadith, in al-ma tahur, water is tahur, it's pure and it purifies. Lam yunajjishu shay, there's nothing that impurifies it. Right? So when you look at these two hadith together, then the scholars mention that if water goes above qullatain, now qullatain, ayy ikhwa, is a measure, an Iraqi measure, which refers to 191.25 kilograms of water. That's if you're talking about the mass of water. 191.25, thereabouts, kilograms of water. In liters, 160.50 liters. If water goes beyond that, and then najasa mixes with it, but doesn't change a characteristic from the characteristics of water, one of the three characteristics, then لا ينجسه شيء, nothing impurifies it. Even if najasa was to mix with it, even if a person was to, for example, you urinate in a pool, so long as that water has gone above qullatain, then even though there's najasa in it, then it doesn't impurify it. However, because of this hadith, they said that what we understand from it is, the mafhum of it, that which is understood from it, is that anything, or that water that is below qullatain, then if najasa comes into contact with it, then it's impure. But here, this is where the Sheikh was mentioning that there's khilaf here, and so on. The Sheikh didn't go into it, but two positions. The position that say that, and we're talking about what here? We're talking about that water that hasn't reached qullatain, that ma'al qaleel, that small amount of water. And what do we refer to? That qullatain, because there's a hadith that's come in this regard. Those who say the first position, those who say that so long as najasa comes into contact with water, even if it's lesser, if it's less than the qullatain, even if it doesn't change, a characteristic of that water, just the mere fact that it came in contact with it, then it's impure. It's impure due to this hadith. When water reaches qullatain, then it doesn't carry filth due to that hadith. So they said anything lesser than that, if najasa comes into contact with it, that's it, it's impure. However, there are those who say, first and foremost, that hadith is da'if. Hadith is recorded by Imam Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Imam Ahmad, but there are those who say it's da'if. And even if it is authentic, they have their evidences, which we don't have time to mention today, maybe next week. They say that, so long as the characteristic doesn't change. So najasa comes into contact with that ma that is lesser than that amount that we mentioned there, qullatain. So long as the characteristic doesn't change, then it is still pure. And that is the position of most of the present day scholars, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Bani. And if we're talking about the scholars of old, then there's a statement from all of the madhahib, the Hanabila, yani a riwaya, chain going back to Imam Ahmad, that he said that it doesn't make the water najis, with a small amount where the characteristic hasn't changed. Likewise, the Shafi'iyya, the Malikiyya, but not the Ahnaf, not the Hanafis. The Hanafis have the other position. So long as it comes into contact, even if a characteristic doesn't change, so it still has the characteristics of water, smell hasn't changed, the odor hasn't changed, the taste hasn't changed, they say no, just the mere fact that it's got in contact, then it's impure. But the majority, the Jamhur, and the present day scholars, all of them, then they say that it is still pure, so long as a characteristic hasn't changed, and we suffice with that. This bab itself and the ahkam of water, it's not easy to digest all of that in one sitting. So hopefully we'll try and review that next week, quick review of that, and maybe bring some fatawa concerning that, some fatawa that we can actually relate to, some of the situations that we get into ourselves as it relates to water and dealing with water and so on. هذا وصلى الله عليه وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.